anyone willing to shout out what is special about the... Oh, look, they've rodents. What have you got for us? Bonfire night, first time. That's very impressive. So is anyone planning on celebrating bonfire night tonight? Any bonfires, fireworks, hot dogs? Anyone been to fireworks earlier? And yes. Yeah. I don't get to go to fireworks anymore because my children are too old. Robert doesn't want to come with me. But why do we celebrate Bonfire Night? Does anyone know what it's all about? Oh. Oh, I'm going to go with Derek at the back there. But
hang on, Derek.
I'm going to make you speak into a microphone. What can you tell us?
Because Guy Fawkes was found to be guarding a whole pile of gunpowder kegs underneath the Houses of Parliament, planning to blow it up.
Now, I'm wondering if you might know why he wanted to blow it up.
Regime change.
Very, very good answers there. Thank you very much, Derek. I'm sure Kaz had all the answers too. So, just to expand on what Derek said, we had Guy Fawkes and Robert Catesby, who was one of the other main planners, wanted to blow up Parliament at the state opening of Parliament. They wanted to kill the king because they were Roman Catholic Christians who were very upset and angry that the king would not allow Catholic Christians to worship in the way that they thought they should. They thought that if they killed James I, they would get a new king or queen who would let them hold their services in the way that they thought that they should. It's quite a story. So the people who wanted to blow up Parliament were Christians, just like us. They wanted to kill the king because he stood in the way of what they thought that God wanted. Do you think they did the right thing? How can we know what is the right thing to do when the people in charge do bad things, or things that we think are very wrong, or that they make life hard for us? And this is not just about kings and queens, or even prime ministers and parliaments, whatever our views about them are. Sometimes the people in authority over us are much closer to us. People like teachers and police officers and our boss at work. And it's not just about the big issues like the right to freedom of worship, which is what the plotters were worried about. It can also be about much smaller things like speed limits, taxes, and handing in our homework. How do we know what is the Christian thing to do? Well, we believe that God has given us the Bible to help us know what is the right thing to do. And by an amazing coincidence, on this bonfire day, today's Bible reading from Romans 13 is all about how Christians should relate to authorities, to the people who are in charge. It can help us to work out whether the gunpowder plotters were doing the right thing. It can also help us with our less dramatic problems with the people in charge, too. So let's have a look. In this passage, Paul tells us two things about how we as Christians should relate to people in authority. The first thing he tells us is that Christians should submit to authority. And the second is that this authority comes from God. He says people are put in authority to fulfill God's purposes. Paul had to write to the Romans to tell them to submit to authority because it does not always come naturally to us. While some of us are naturally law-abiding and find it easy to follow rules, there are others of us who find it a real struggle. And sometimes, maybe often, the people in charge, the government, or the other authorities do things that make it difficult for us, or they do things that we disagree with. There are lots of reasons why we might not want to submit to authority, why we might find it hard to do as we're told. But for Paul, submitting to the authorities is all part of loving our enemies, living in peace, and loving our neighbours as ourselves. Like in the sections that come before and after this passage, it's all one big story about how we have to live as Christians. And he sums up this teaching with, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul's writing to the Christians in Rome to help them to understand what it means to live as Christians in the world. And part of that living is living in peace with those who are in authority over us. Just like we have to live in peace with our enemies. Because the way of Jesus is the way of peace. Paul has a second reason why we should submit to authority. He says Christian believers should submit to the authorities because it was God who put them in charge to achieve his purposes. Well, that makes everything more complicated, because I'm sure every person sitting here today can think of at least one ruler, one person in authority, whose behavior is or has been the opposite of what God would want. Over the course of history, there have been so many times when leaders, rulers, those in authority, have not used their power to do the things that please God. And sometimes they've done the complete opposite. Sometimes they've stood against God and his people. So what happens then? What are we supposed to do when the people in charge reject their responsibility to act as agents of God's love and goodness in the way they behave? I honestly think that that was the situation that the gunpowder plotters thought that they were in. They were not allowed to worship God as they thought they ought to. And so they decided to blow up Parliament and get new rulers and authorities who would let them. But was that really okay? Well, the first commandment is that we should have no other gods before the one true God, that no one and nothing is more important than God. And the Bible, and in the Bible, there are lots and lots of stories of people defying the people in charge, defying the authorities to do what God wants. I wonder if you can think of any of the people in these stories. How about Moses and his mother? Or Daniel, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that would rather be burnt than not worship God as they were called to. But let's look at the very best example. Let's look at Jesus Christ, because it's the example of Jesus that inspires everything that Paul writes about how we should live as Christians. If we look at the death of Jesus, he was crucified on the cross because of the combined authority and power of the religious and the secular authorities. And he did not resist, but he gave himself up willingly. He sacrificed himself, not the king or all the people in Parliament like the plotters tried to do. Out of his death, which seemed at the time like a defeat, came his resurrection and the ultimate victory of God and his kingdom of life and love. Jesus' death and resurrection were the ultimate display of the refusal to be overcome by evil and instead overcoming evil with good. So Jesus is the reason and the power by which we can obey authority even when it's hard and we don't want to. Jesus is also the reason and the power that will enable us to resist authority taking the place of God and will show us the way to do that well. I don't know which one of those two is more of a challenge to you at the moment. It's not so common, praise God, that in our place and in our time, we are faced with these ultimate challenges to our faith and worship that the plotters faced. But our passage concludes by talking about how we should pay our taxes. Even this simple submission to authority can feel very hard. And others of us have experienced discrimination or victimization by people in authority. So this is not easy teaching. The way of the cross is demanding and difficult, and sometimes it's sacrificial. But we do not walk it alone. There are hundreds and thousands of examples of Christians all around the world trying to walk this path in hard situations. We heard the story of Willie Kimani, the International Justice Mission lawyer in Kenya, just a couple of weeks ago, and there are so many others. And in this week of All Saints, we can draw inspiration from the lives of those who have trodden this path before us. Not just the Apostle Paul, but more recent saints such as Corrie ten Boom, Oscar Romero, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Rosa Parks. In Jesus' name, and by the power of his Spirit living within us, let all of us resolve not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Amen.
Let's just have a moment of quiet prayer just to bring before God anything that might have come up in the sermon. Lord, will you give us your grace and empower us by your Spirit to submit first and foremost to you, Lord, and to those you've put in authority over us, and to overcome evil with good. In Jesus' name, amen. Please can we stand as we sing our next song, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Please be seated as Matthew and Thomas and Helen come to lead us in our intercessions.
Thanks. Dear Lord, we pray for justice in the world. We pray for peace, especially in Israel, Palestine, and Ukraine. We remember that not everyone is as fortunate as we are, and we hope that the people affected by the wars receive all the humanitarian aid that they need. We pray that they can see hope despite their suffering and fear. Lord, in your mercy, dear Lord, we pray for all the dedicated staff and volunteers who commit their time to our parish and church. We especially welcome with our prayers our new youth, children and family workers, Ruby and Kaz. We thank you for them and for bringing the local community together in our church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, we pray for people who are suffering, who are sick, and who are bereaved. We pray that those who have lost loved ones can learn to live with their grief. We also pray that those who are sick or suffering can find the strength to ask for help and support, and that you can provide for their needs. Lord, in your mercy, dear Lord, we pray for the environment. We worry that future generations won't get to enjoy our beautiful planet as much as we are. We pray that the leaders deliver on their promises and that as individuals, we also take care of the world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you for leading us in prayer, Matthew and Thomas. Please can we stand as we affirm our faith together in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's offer one another a sign of God's peace. Please stand as we sing our next hymn, For All the Saints.